Hey friend, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and if you haven't noticed, social media is full of content about mental health struggles. Checklists, warning signs, gentle reminders to reach out if you need help. And if you're anything like me, you've been scrolling past most of it thinking, that doesn't really apply to me. Not because you're fine, but because none of it really fits you. The content that we've been seeing so much of is for people whose mental health struggles are profound and probably pretty visible. You don't even look like someone who needs a Mental Health Awareness Month post, which is exactly why I made this episode for you. Welcome back to the ADHD-ish podcast. I'm your host, Diane Wingert, and today we're focusing on the mental health risks that are specific to high-functioning entrepreneurs with ADHD. Now, before you get up all in my business about the term high-functioning, this is not an ableist conversation. Believe it or not, if you were to go to a psychiatrist or a therapist for treatment of ADHD, if you've been able to start and grow a business, they will perceive you as high functioning. So here's what I know about folks like us, because I'm an ADHD entrepreneur myself, and I have been working with folks who are ADHD entrepreneurs for the last decade exclusively. The more high functioning you are, the harder it is to recognize when your mental health is actually at risk. It's not because you're in denial. It's because the same skills that built your business is extraordinarily good at keeping everything looking fine, at least on the surface. So today, I'm going to share the receipts for four categories that I see in my clients, and I call them the cognitive traps, nervous system confusion, recovery failures, and the loss of connection and identity. Now, I'm also going to share some of my own patterns in here because I'm in the trenches right along with you. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, and this episode is for us. So let's start with the cognitive traps. And I want to be really clear about what I mean by that because it's not a very flattering term. And this audience in particular does not respond well to being pathologized. Neither do I. A cognitive trap isn't a sign that something is wrong with your thinking. It's a pattern of thinking that makes complete sense at some point, probably kept you functioning, maybe even helped you build something real. But now it's quietly working against you. The reason it's a trap is because it doesn't feel like one. It feels like logic. For high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs, there are three that I see most consistently in my business. And fair warning, at least one of these is probably going to sound uncomfortably familiar. The first one is the perpetually moving finish line. This is the, I'll slow down when pattern. When the launch is done, when I hit that revenue number, when the book is finished, when I get through Q3 or 4. The logic is sound. I mean, there really is a lot to do, and finishing things really does matter. The problem is that the finish line isn't really a finish line. It's a placeholder that keeps relocating itself every time you get close. I've done this. I'm doing it right now in some areas of my life, if I'm being honest. And what makes it a mental health risk is that it puts rest, recovery, and restoration permanently in future tense. You're always about to deserve a break. You just never quite get one. This isn't a discipline problem or a planning problem. For the ADHD brains, the next shiny, urgent, important thing is genuinely compelling in a way that is neurological. The finish line moves because something more interesting or urgent is always appearing on the horizon. What looks like ambition is sometimes just an ADHD brain that's never learned how to stop. The second cognitive trap is one I'd bet some serious coin you've said out loud at least once. You ready? I work better under pressure. This just may be the most seductive lie the ADHD entrepreneurial brain tells itself, because it contains enough truth to be totally convincing. Yes, urgency activates the ADHD nervous system. Yes, deadlines produce output. Yes, you have probably done some of your best work at 11 p.m. the night before it was due. I know I have. But here's what that belief costs us when we build our entire business on it. We become dependent. We become dependent on chronic stress as a performance mechanism. We stop being able to access motivation unless there's a crisis. And our nervous system, which was never designed to run on cortisol as a primary fuel source, always starts showing you the bill. The cognitive trap isn't that the belief is entirely false. That's what makes it a trap. It's that you've promoted it from an occasional observation into an operating principle. And operating principles have consequences. The third cognitive trap, this is the most insidious one. And it's honestly the one that makes Mental Health Awareness Month content feel irrelevant to you. It's the comparison that keeps you from taking yourself seriously. Other people have real problems. I have a business that works and a life that looks fine. Who am I to claim I'm struggling? This one is particularly brutal for high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs because it's like a self-reinforcing mechanism. The more functional you appear, the less permission you feel to acknowledge what's actually going on underneath. And the less permission you give yourself, the less likely you're going to do anything about it. The trap keeps you trapped by convincing you you're not in a trap. Here's what I want you to sit with before we move on. Cognitive traps don't announce themselves. They kind of slither in and show up dressed as common sense, self-awareness, even a positive work ethic. The fact that yours feels reasonable is not evidence that it is. And those cognitive patterns, they don't stay in your head. They move into your body, which is what brings us to what's actually happening in your nervous system while all of that convincing logic is running. Okay, you've got the cognitive layer, right? The thoughts that feel like strategy, but are actually keeping you stuck. Now we're going to go one level deeper. Because what's happening in your nervous system is both the cause and the consequence of those cognitive patterns. And this is where it gets interesting, I think, because most high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs I know are genuinely sophisticated thinkers who have almost no idea what their nervous system is actually doing at any given moment. I call this nervous system confusion. And I'm using this term very strategically because when your body is sending you signals and you're consistently misreading them, what would you call it but nervous system confusion? You're not ignoring them, you're misreading them. You think you're resting when you're not. You think you're being diligent when you're actually dysregulated. The signals are there, but the interpretation is off. Now, there are a couple of patterns here that I see constantly in both my clients and myself. The first is mistaking stimulation for restoration. It's no secret that ADHD brains are novelty-seeking by design. We need input, variety, and engagement in a way that is genuinely neurological. It's not a character flaw, and it's not laziness. But that same novelty-seeking drive means that what may pass for downtime for a lot of us, like, you know, podcast binging, social media scrolling, jumping between YouTube rabbit holes, or consuming enough content till you literally can't hold your eyes open anymore. But here's the thing. It probably feels like rest to you because you're not working. You might even be horizontal, maybe even in a pair of yoga or sweatpants. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is this. Your nervous system doesn't know you clocked out. It's still processing. It's still stimulated. It's still firing on all cylinders. stimulation and restoration are not the same thing. And your brain, which already struggles to downregulate, is getting zero actual recovery time. Meanwhile, you're convinced you're recharging. Now, I see this in myself mostly after a very high output week. I tell myself I'm unwinding, but to be honest, I'm actually just switching inputs. The tank doesn't get refilled when I do this. It just gets different stuff poured into it. And if you are someone who likes to lie around after a long day or week, scrolling or binging content, you're not resting. I promise you. Now, for ADHD entrepreneurs specifically, genuine restoration tends to require something that feels quite boring, at least at first. And I'm talking about stillness or repetitive physical movement, time in nature, actual silence or solitude. These things don't grab your attention, and so we think they're boring, but they may be exactly what our nervous system needs. And frankly, that feels inconvenient. The second pattern is hypervigilance, pretending to be due diligence. Oof. This one can be really hard to catch because it looks like you're being responsible from the outside. And honestly, it feels responsible from the inside too. It's the constant low-level monitoring of your business, even when you're technically off the clock, which is really hard to do when you're a business owner. So maybe you're checking your metrics before bed. Maybe you're refreshing email, even though you're on vacation. Half listening to a conversation while mentally tracking something that happened in a client meeting 3 days ago. Sound familiar? From the outside and from your own internal narrative, this looks like being conscientious. You care about your business. You have to. You need to be on top of things. You are a responsible entrepreneur. But make no mistake, hypervigilance is a nervous system state. It's the threat detection system running on a setting that never fully powers down. And for ADHD entrepreneurs who've built businesses largely on their own, most of us are bootstrappers, the stakes feel personal because they frickin' are personal. We're not getting investor dollars to play with. These are our dollars. So our system gets calibrated to treat almost everything as a potential threat that requires constant monitoring. The cost is not just stress. It's that you never actually leave work, even when you leave work. Your body is on the couch, but your nervous system is in the office. And over time, the gap between where you physically are and where your attention lives becomes a kind of chronic low-grade exhaustion that doesn't usually respond to sleep because it was never about being tired. Here's what I want you to notice. Nervous system confusion isn't dramatic. It almost never feels like a crisis. In fact, it feels fucking normal. And when your nervous system never fully recovers, the first things to go are the very practices that would help it do exactly that. Which brings me to the third pattern, recovery failures, and why the people who need restoration the most are usually the very last ones to prioritize it. Now, this next segment where I'm going to be talking about the recovery failures, it might absolutely feel like a gut punch, because if you've seen yourself up until now, this one is where you really start to feel the cost. But stay with me. Your cognitive patterns are keeping you perpetually in motion. Your nervous system is running on stimulation that it is mistaken for rest. And now, the actual recovery practices that would help you are not going to happen. Now, I want to be careful here because I do not want this to feel like a lecture about self-care. And I promised you this episode was not going to be that. So let me be specific about what I mean by recovery failures, because it's not that you don't know what helps. It's that there's a very particular pattern in how high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs relate to restoration. It's not motivational. It's structural. Recovery failures aren't about not caring. They're about consistently deprioritizing the infrastructure that keeps you functional, specifically during the times when you need it most. Your stress goes up, and the first thing to go is the exact thing that would help you manage it. Make no mistake, you're not self-sabotaging and you're not self-destructive. You're optimizing output at a moment that it feels urgent and you doesn't feel like there's anything else you can do. So here's some examples. The first recovery failure is what I think of as the vacation tax. So here's what I mean. Taking time off as an ADHD entrepreneur is already a minor miracle for most of us. But here's the pattern that I see again and again and again with my clients, and that I am personally guilty of too. Taking the vacation and then coming straight back to full work mode the moment it's over. No buffer, no transition. You come back from vacation on Sunday night and you are back in the fucking office on Monday morning early, even if you've got a 10-hour time zone change to work through. What that does is erase most of the recovery value that you just accumulated by taking the vacation, because re-entry into high-demand work is a significant stressor itself. Your nervous system doesn't get to gradually come back online. It gets hit in the face with a fire hose. So what actually works, and what I am usually failing to build in for myself, is treating the transition back to work as part of the vacation. An extra day or two with no calls, no deliverables, no need to perform competence for anyone. Not because I'm fragile, but because re-entry is a cognitive and physiological demand event that deserves to be planned for and taken into consideration. The second recovery failure is the stress inversion. Now, under normal conditions, you probably know what keeps you functional, right? It's obvious. Sleep, movement, water, food that isn't consumed standing over your kitchen sink or between calls. These things aren't revolutionary insight, folks. You know all of this. But watch what happens when your stress goes up. Your sleep cycle gets shorter, your workouts disappear, your water bottle doesn't get refilled, and meals become whatever you can shove in your face the fastest. Every single foundational practice inverts exactly when you need it most, because stress convinces us that there isn't time for anything that doesn't directly address the most urgent things. This is what I call stress inversion, and it is a hallmark pattern of high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs in particular, because our capacity to push through is genuinely high. That's why we are referred to as high-functioning. We can run on empty longer than most people, which means we often don't notice how depleted we truly are until we're significantly past the point where a good night's sleep is going to have any impact at all. The third recovery failure is the one that sounds, I don't know, kind of trivial, I guess, but it's actually the most serious. And it's not having a life outside your business. Now, I am not referring to work-life balance, inspirational quote on a coffee mug kind of thing. I mean the concrete absence of hobbies, time in nature, experiences that have zero professional utility, time when you're not producing anything, you're not networking, you're not learning, you're not doing anything to make you better at work or make your business more successful. Time that is purely and unapologetically pointless by entrepreneurial standards. For ADHD brains, play isn't optional. It's an absolute necessity. And for entrepreneurs who've built their entire identity around output and impact, genuinely unproductive time can feel like an act of betrayal against your business and your identity, like you're literally stealing from yourself. But you're not. You are funding your business and fueling your brain. The mental and emotional returns on activities that have nothing whatsoever to do with your business are really significant. And the absence of them is a slow leak that is so, so hard to detect until something important inside you just goes flat. Here's the hard truth about recovery failures. You already know what you're not doing. You don't need me to tell you that. This segment of the episode probably didn't teach you a damn thing new. What it might have done is help you take it a bit more seriously, because skipping your recovery infrastructure, it's not a personal failure. It's a predictable pattern in high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs. So I'm giving it a name as a first step to helping you do something about it. Now, here's what recovery failures eventually cost you that go well beyond energy and health. They cost you your connections to yourself, to others, even to your entrepreneurial identity, which is where we're going next. Okay, we've covered the thoughts that trap you, the nervous system signals you're misreading, and the recovery practices that you're just skippity-doo dying over. And if you're still listening, I want to acknowledge something. This has not been a comfortable episode. You've probably recognized yourself in more than one example. And you know, it takes a certain amount of courage to just sit with that. So this last category is the one that, in my experience, tends to sneak up on people the most. Because cognitive traps feel like normal thinking. And nervous system confusion at least has a physical component that you can eventually detect when you're paying attention. And recovery failures, they are concrete enough that if you look at your calendar and what's missing, you'll see the evidence. But connection and identity erosion, that's different. It happens slowly, quietly, and in a way that's almost impossible to track in real time. Until one day you look up and realize something really important is missing, and you can't quite name it until it's disappeared. So here are the patterns. The first is social isolation dressed up in a very convincing disguise. That disguise is busyness. And for high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs, it's a very convincing one. Because you, in fact, are busy, genuinely busy. The packed calendar isn't a figment of your imagination. The demands are quite real. But here's what happens over time when busyness becomes chronic. The only relationships that survive are the ones with a transaction attached. Client relationships. They survive because they're paying you. Peer relationships where you're talking shop, you'll convince yourself that's networking. Collaborations, partnerships, referral conversations, these are social interactions that have a professional through line. And even the ones that don't look like it on the surface, you'll convince yourself they are. What quietly disappears is something much harder to schedule and much easier to deprioritize: the non-transactional connections, friendships where nobody needs anything from anybody, time with people who have absolutely nothing to do with your business, your industry, your audience, or your goals, relationships where you are not in any way building something or trying to get somewhere. This kind of connection isn't producing anything measurable. It has no obvious ROI. And for an ADHD entrepreneur brain that's wired for impact and output, taking time for that kind of relationship can almost feel indulgent, like a luxury that maybe you can afford when things slow down. Except things don't slow down, and the finish line keeps moving, and slowly, without any single moment that you can point to, your world gets smaller, and your professionally oriented pool of people, they're all you have left. The second pattern is the one that hits closest to home for me personally, and maybe for a lot of you who come from the helping professions or have built your business around serving others, which is many, many of my clients. You ready? It's being the person that everyone else leans on in a life that has almost no one leaning the other direction. As an ADHD entrepreneur who coaches, consults, advises, or supports others for a living, you are almost certainly the emotional anchor in more relationships than you can count. Professionally, that's the job description, and you're damn good at it. But it bleeds. It bleeds into friendships where you're the one person people call when things go sideways. It bleeds into family dynamics where you're always the capable one. It bleeds into peer relationships where you are the designated advice giver, problem solver, the person who has it together enough to always be able to help someone else. That was a point of pride for me for many years. But what it means in practice is that there are very few spaces, possibly none at all, where you get to be the one who doesn't have it together, where you are not forced to perform competence or provide support or hold space for others, where someone is genuinely, unhurriedly curious about how you are doing and willing to sit with the real answer. That is a profound and exhausting kind of loneliness, and it is incredibly common in high-functioning ADHD entrepreneurs because our capacity and our competence make us a target for other people's needs. And because asking for support can feel deeply incongruent with the identity we've built. Which brings me to the identity piece, because this is where erosion in our connections and erosion in our identity are essentially the same problem. When your entire sense of self is organized around what you produce, what you provide, how well you perform, and you have progressively less contact with the parts of yourself that exist outside of that, you begin to lose track of who you are when you're not doing anything for anyone, which is to say when you're not working. It's not dramatic. It's not an existential crisis, typically. It's a quiet, slightly dissociated way where you sit down on a Sunday afternoon with nothing on the calendar and feel anxious instead of relieved. Because rest just doesn't feel like you anymore. That's the erosion. That's the loss. It's not a collapse. It's a slow narrowing of self until the business and the identity become fused, become one and the same. And the mental health risk of that is significant because it means any threat to the business is a threat to your entire sense of who you are. Now, here's what I want to leave you with before we close. None of what I've described today means there's something wrong with you. Not one of these patterns. They are the predictable, completely understandable, in fact, almost inevitable result of being a high-functioning ADHD brain running a business in a world that rewards output, and where you have very little infrastructure for genuine restoration. You, my friend, are not broken. You are running a system that was never designed for sustainable operation, and you've been doing it largely without a maintenance plan. That's worth paying attention to. Now, if you've heard anything today of these four categories, that sounds like you, the cognitive traps, the nervous system confusion, the recovery failures, and the loss of connection and identity, please do not walk away from listening to this episode with a longer mental to-do list. That is so not the point. What I want you to do is just sit with what you've begun to recognize. Let it be information, because awareness is actually the first move here, and it's not a small one. Now, if you want to keep exploring this, there are two ways I can support you to do so. The first is Die AI, my ADHD business coach digital clone, which is available anytime you want to think through something. You don't have to make an appointment with me. It could be the middle of the night. It could be a weekend. If you have access to Die AI, you can open up a chat and work some of this through. If you've been curious about Die AI, let this episode be a good reason to give it a try. There's a link in the show notes to sign up. And if what you heard today made you think, this is probably a good time for me to work with an actual expert ADHD entrepreneur coach, someone who understands my experience and how to help others navigate it, the first step to do that is to book a free consultation to see if we're a fit. There's a link for a consultation in the show notes as well. In wrapping up, remember, maybe Mental Health Awareness Month, but you are never too high functioning for your mental health not to be a priority.